We're constantly trying to figure out, to assume, to calculate, to know, to discern. That's probably the better way. Where are we in the time frame that God has laid out for mankind? We do know. We do know that he said that time would exist 7,000 years. We do know that. How do we know it? In the beginning of time, when God created all the things that we now see, they are creations for time. They exist in time alone. All things that are seen are temporal. Temporal is a measure of time, short time. They soon disappear, vanish, no longer exist. Everything that we can see now, everything, whether it be in the skies or the heavens above, or in the earth beneath, and of course you know that now that men have devised means and methods by which they can see way up into the first heaven. They cannot see into the second heaven, but just a little bit, but they can see. No one can see with the natural eye into the third heaven. They can go down into earth, and they can see many things in earth, but they cannot see hell, no matter how they look, and they won't. Because heaven and hell are not temporal. They are eternal. The blackness of hell forever. And they are places of eternal abodes where the souls of men will live forever. Now we can search out the mind of men. They can read mind patterns, see mind patterns. They can see heartbeats, see hearts, but they cannot see the soul, because the soul is eternal. The things that are seen are temporal. The body, the mind, they can all be located. The brain. But they cannot see the things which are eternal. That's about as simple as explanation, and to understand it is absolutely very profound. Now, the mind of man will not see that. They keep telling us that they're going to do this and they're going to do that, but there has been a limitation that God has put on man, and that is time itself. So when God laid out his plan and then later on had it written down in a book, you remember Daniel? He said, I understood the times by what was written in the book, or the books. And the books were the prophets. Yes. The Bible tells us that God's plan was given in the Psalms, in the prophets, and by the revelation of truth. Prophecy. He spoke it. Holy men of old spake, as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. And then the Holy Ghost inspired men to write it down. The Bible, the Scriptures, the King James Version precisely for us today in the English world is the inspired Word of God. All Scripture. Now, not all words. Words are letters. Letter kills. Spirit takes those words and opens them up and reveals to us by the Holy Ghost what God meant or what he said. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it, scriptures, inspired word, they are profitable for instruction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect. Perfect in understanding, perfect in knowledge, perfect in ways and means of living, and he might be perfect, thoroughly furnished, has everything he needs to be thus. So Jesus said, you search the scriptures, not just the word. You know, his word is powerful, but the scriptures are the inspired or the inspiration of the word or the quickening of the word. Search the scriptures. In them, many of you will think you have eternal life. But they are they which talk of me. The life of God is in his Son, Jesus Christ, Yahshua. He that hath the Son hath life. Well, the times were laid out in the scriptures. 7 days God worked. In the beginning, he worked and laid it out. As he declared the end from the very beginning. He worked, he labored for 6 days. 6 1,000 years. On the seventh, he rested. So the year 2000 brings us to the ending of the sixth day, where God, in his foreknowledge and plan and purpose and intent, labored with man to do and deal with sin that came into his eternal kingdom, and he made an end of it. When he sent Jesus Christ on the cross, he made an end of sin. He said, Father, remember we're working on these 6 days? Well, I come to do the work of the Father. And he said, the work that you sent me to do, I have finished it. When he hung on a cross, shed his blood to wash away our sin and fulfill the scripture that was given in the garden, where Jesus or God the Father took a lamb and slew it when Adam and Eve sinned, as a prototype, as an example, Jesus became that lamb. That sacrificial atoning lamb to make an end of sin. And he said, Father, he said, the work that you have sent me to do, I have finished it. When he hung on the cross, God laid on him the iniquity of us all, and he bore in his body our sins and our transgressions. Then the blood flowed from his wounds that were strategically placed on his body, on the head, in the hands, pierced in the side, beaten on the back. He hung on that cross, and his heart of love beat until every drop of blood was out of his body, and it covered his physical body, and in doing that, he covered your sins. And when the blood covered the sins and the iniquities that was laid on him, that made the Father turn away and not look at him. Remember how Jesus said, why hast thou forsaken me? He finally, after he agonized and pumped out all the blood until it covered his physical body, he looked up, he said, Father, into thy hands now I commend my spirit. Look at me now, Father. It is finished. It is finished. And the Father looked down, and he saw not your sins or your iniquities in this body. He saw it covered by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It pleased the Father so much that when they laid Jesus in the tomb, he raised him again. He raised him up from the dead for our justification. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in him we too shall live. And even to this day we move. And we have our being. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is an acceptable offering to the Father.